Okay, so I'll sort of turn this way, because that's where Shona Bet is. So last week, we outlined the four types of potential cases of molid that exist in Shas. The first, which is subject to machloket, is molid recha, is the creation of a new smell, where Rashi thinks that this is a prohibition of creating something new or a new quality in an object. Meiris thinks it's a problem of creating the new scent. Rambam and the Rif reject this lahalacha entirely, and Shulchan Aruch seems to reject it fundamentally and accept it only as a chumrah. So it's not clear that it exists, but even if it does exist, it's clear that it's only when you add something new and not when you increase a quantity. That was case one. Case two was the case of creating, of crushing ice, where Rashi again conceptualizes this as a problem of molid. The Rambam conceptualizes it as a subsidiary of the rabbinic problems of grinding, and therefore this teaches us nothing about creating something new. And the Sefer HaTruma thinks that it's a subset of mukta, of the type of mukta called nolad. And again, the exact parameters of this are unclear. It's not clear whether we definitely paskin that you can't crush ice, but again, it's not clear if the problem is molid or something entirely different. And we noted some of the cases that come out of that. Like, is the opposite also the case, right? Is making ice, freezing ice, problematic? Then we dealt with case three, which is molid chom, which is creating heat, where there we saw that the Rambam does seem to accept this, even though by the others he does not. And then there was the molid or molid eish, which is creating a new spark, even though havara is permitted. Molid eish, creating a new spark, is prohibited. And while Rov Rishonim believe that this is a case of this new category called molid, we saw that in the Rambam this is unclear, because the Rambam at least seems to, and this is why everyone has a problem with the Rambam, seems to think that the issue here is actually biblical, and is a problem not of the derabbanan of molid, but of efshar la'asoto mi be'od yom, e efshar la'asoto mi be'od yom. It's a limitation on ochel nefesh itself, where if it's something that could have been done before yom tov, so then it is permitted. That is forbidden if it could have been done before Yom Tov. If not, then it is permitted. We were up to number 24, the Ber Halacha, where the Ber Halacha notes that Ayin b'Mishneh Berurah l'inyan di'avad mutar l'ishtamesh b'hen. If, let's say, you did create a new fire, so then post facto you'd be allowed to use it. Chein mashma mikevet ha-Mishnah v'chein gadol v'radbaz v'shem ha-Rashba. All these achronim assume that post facto would be permitted. Unlike the Taz, who forbids it. But he says, right, not only do they allow you to use the flame, they even let you use the flame, which would mean that it's obvious that not only post facto could you use the flame if you already lit it, but if you cook something using the flame, which is already two-step removed from the illicit flame, it would be permitted to eat the food. And he says, well, what are we talking about? In the end of the day, is creating a new flame biblical or rabbinic? Says Dara Tazu de Oraita. The Taz, following the Rambam, seems to think that it is biblical, that the problem here is not molid, the problem is really a limitation within Ochel Nefesh itself. But he says, Umidivrei Abartanura, right, Arav Uvadi Abartanura, Mashmashu de Rabbanan, Shikatab de Domilamacha Lamalacha. He thinks that everyone will agree, perhaps even the Rambam, that it's only rabbinic because it's similar in some senses to a malacha. But this thing is presumably a derabanan. And if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan in 25, the Aruch HaShulchan says, Nir'eh lefiyoni da'ati divadei gamuso v'ratam mishum nolod. He thinks that everyone really agrees that this category is nolod. Ella, davekasha le'ech, efshar lasro tzad eish b'yom tov. Right, so we saw that the Rambam at first glance seems to believe that creating a new flame is not this new category called molid, but it's actually the biblical prohibition of violating malacha without a justifiable ochel nefesh concern. The Aruch HaShulchan, like everybody else, didn't understand how the Rambam could say such a thing, and therefore he suggests that maybe the Rambam really fundamentally agrees with everybody else. I mean, he says, El Dave Koshele, Heyach Evshur La'asar Otzar Eish B'Yomdov. His problem was, why, how could you possibly forbid creating a new flame on Yom Tov? Sharei Chevon Sha'atorah Hittira Le'efotu Le'vashel B'Yom Tov. Ve'ein Mishul Va'afiyah Bilo'or. He said, I don't understand. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, and you need fire to cook. Imken Arei Be'achreach She'atira Torah allows it Eish B'Yom Tov. So it must be that the Torah allows you to light a flame. V'lazeh Omer, so to answer that problem, he said, She'ein zeh echreach, she'etira me'ish mitzuyak, mo migachelet u'miner chayotzi bo, v'zeh, v'lo lamzi or chadash. Said, the Rambam is not telling you that this is actually all right to under ochel nefesh. What he's saying is, we can't forbid that which is necessary to creating a case of ochel nefesh. But, because by forbidding creating a new flame, you still have not prevented people from cooking because they could use an existing flame. So, zeu kimachshir ochel nefesh. So we treat it like machshirin, like that secondary category of ochel nefesh, those preparatory stages. Mashi yochol asod meir yom tov asur biyom tov min haTorah. Ve'af im zeu ochel nefesh atzmo mikol makom midrabanan asur. Therefore, even if you look at it as machshirin or maybe even ochel nefesh, rabbinically we can forbid it. B'mesh efshar me'erev yom tov v'hein emet b'varam yimitoch k'ma shekatav. Even though that spreading the flame itself, we totally permit because of mitoch. Zeh akom eish mitzuya aval me'esh einu matzuya asher mishom ne'olad. That's only from a existing flame. V'amagid Mishnah, Perek, Perish, Dibbe'esh Yevshar Lazar Mishom Nolad. But the Magid Mishnah didn't accept this, and he said, you can't forbid the creation of a flame because of Nolad. Sharei Einze Kebeit Seshen Oldash, Asur Lefishenu Davar Ra'ui Batzmaho Elev Asher La'afot. He said, fire isn't like Nolad, because it doesn't have its own essence, right? It's useful, but it's not tangible in the same way. And that's why if you did create the flame, you would be allowed to use it. The problem is simply that you shouldn't have created. And therefore he says, it's not a problem of nolad, the mukta category. It's this new category of molid, right? As we've argued several times, of creating something new. Elish ikar dvarav tmuhim deichav sharlomar dechol sheino b'machal atzmo in b'nolad v'ari iser disherikelim u'midam nolad v'chein iser lasik b'garinim mishum nolad. He said, how can you say this? There are plenty of things where we forbid it because of nolad, even though you don't benefit from the thing itself, like broken kalim and things like that you can use for firewood. He said that it must be that the Isra of Nolad has to be something tangible, and fire is not tangible. But the Aruch HaShulchan argues that that's why it's not this Muktzeh category of Nolad. But he argues that even though the Rambam sounds like he's saying that it's not even molid, and it's really ochel nefesh, he's not willing to accept it and says, no, the Rambam will agree that it is molid. So what you have is, again, let's review it one more time. We have four potential categories of molid. One is the case of the scent, which Rashi holds is molid. The Rambam, the Rif, say it's fundamentally permitted. Shulchan Aruch paskens that way, Maker Adin. Then there was the case of making water out of ice, which Rashi thinks is molid, the Rambam does not. The case of molid chom, of creating heat, where everyone seems to agree it is prohibited. And then the case of molid eish, of creating a new fire, where Rov Rishonim think it's this problem of molid. The Rambam may not hold that. He may think it's biblical within the limitations of ochel nefesh, and that's how the Taz understands him. But even within the Rambam here, the Aruch HaShulchan suggests that he really agrees with everybody else and says, no, it's sort of like it's not Ohel Nefesh, but really he agrees that the problem is this category called Molad. So now, once we have those shitot out, now to sort of bring it to practical halacha, as follows. So first of all, this category of Molad, as we've seen, isn't just Usher on Shabbat, it's also Usher on Yom Tov. And therefore, if you want to understand what things are permitted, even in a food context, you must bring Molad into the conversation, because everybody agrees, probably because of Molad, maybe according to the Rambam and the Taz, because of Ochel Nefesh, that even though you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, there are certain things for food that you can't do, like light the flame. Right, so this is one of those very explicit cases that we've seen that despite the fact that on Yom Tov, food-related malachot are permitted, there are certain limitations, probably rabbinic, maybe biblical, but exceptions to the rule of Ochel Nefesh. Right? And again, this is a very, very important one. But, as I said, part of the reason this is so important isn't just because it's one of those cases that's prohibited on Yom Tov and Shabbat, is because it becomes very important in modern conversations, and if we want to talk about electricity on Shabbat, so now, like I said, we're going to transition towards that second issue. So, for those of, if you remember from last year, we'll go back to it in more detail in coming weeks, but when electricity first came into use, so everyone was really... What? Oh, they were definitely excited. But in the halachic world, everyone wanted to try to figure out, well, what is this thing? Right? What is it? And why is it asur? Is it asur? And if it's asur, under what category could it possibly be asur? Right? Electricity didn't look like anything that they knew before. And one of the earliest responses to this question was in the Tshuvot Beit Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Shmelkes, writing in the end of the 19th. Century. He's a fascinating thinker in general. Has some very, very interesting tshuvot. He's also the first, right? He is almost definitely the first Zoom Shaila ever asked. He has a piece in the 1900s, or late 1800s, writing about what will happen if they come up with something like video conferencing, what will the implications be on the giving of gittin? He has it at the end of his tshuva on telephones. He's like, well, what happens if? Right? So he, as a theoretical...
But don't you have to hand it to them?
Yes, but you can appoint a shliach, right? You can appoint a messenger to write it for you. And one of the early questions were, can you appoint someone by phone? So let's say your wife is thousands of miles away and you want to give her a get, so can you call up someone there and say, I appoint you as my messenger to write the get and give it to her, rather than have to try to get the get to her. So one of the earliest questions was phone, right? But at the end of his shuv on phone, Beit Yitzchak says, but we know, and Shlomo Brody wrote an article on it recently, that he believes that the reason that he is writing this is because around the time that Beit Yitzchak is writing his tshuva, there was a buzz in the science/science fiction world about the possibility of this one day being true. Like, it had been in public conversation because of, like, sci-fi 130-140 years ago, something like that. And so the Beit Yitzchak, once he was talking about it, felt a need to address this theoretical. Not so much. I mean, that's not true. I had given shir on it before, and I'd quoted this basically. So again, it is quoted in Gittin Shilas, but I don't know how many people knew Gittin. Right? Like, it is a tshuva in the Beit Yitzchak that's quoted on the issue of whether you're allowed to appoint a shliach for a get via video conference. Right? And Chaim Jachter, an article he wrote on video teleconferencing a get, did in fact invoke this tshuva of the Beit Yitzchak. But it didn't get widespread attention. It wasn't like now when you tell someone there was a Zoom Shaila 150 years ago, everyone is interested in hearing what it was, even though it's a highly technical topic. But no, a few years ago, I'm not sure people cared so much. I gave Sharon it, and people were like, you know, that group was interested, but it wasn't like, you know, yes. But the Beit Yitzchak was one of the earliest shuvah on electricity. And I gave you in two lines his position. And he writes in 26, Yesh Isur Od, there's another prohibition, Mishum Dal Yidei Skirat Zerem HaElektri Nolad Koach Elektri V'zeh Asur B'Shabbat. By closing a circuit, you have created electricity. Dikimo B'Sichufa Ashirai Amrinun B'Veitza Beged Asur Mishum Molid Recha the Asur Lasur Elektrish Ferim Beb that whatever that says. Elektrisch Verbindung. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but he says, because of the category of Molid Reach, you see that it's usher to create something new, and therefore electricity is usher. So this was one of the earliest questions. The earliest positions for electricity. But now that you have a little bit of background on this, so if the Beit Yitzchak is right, then the use of electricity on Shabbat is only dirabanan. And it is equally prohibited both on Shabbat and on Yom Tov. Yes? So far you... Wait one second. Yes? Are both of those true? If what he said is true, that it's molid, so it's asur midirabanan on Shabbat, and it's asur on Shabbat and Yom Tov, because molid is asur on Shabbat and Yom Tov. Okay, yes. What is it now? Okay, good. So there's a lot of problems with this, and that's what we'll see when we get more in depth. Is, well, are you really creating something new, or you just utilize something that exists? And
If you have something that's plugged into a wall, then by using it, you're 100%. It's just I think it would be similar to transporting an existing fire.
Okay, very good. Rav Shlomo Zalman responds to this, and he says, what do you mean, right? Meaning, you're closing a circuit. The circuit existed before. You're just closing it and opening it. And I don't know how you say that's creating something new. It's using something. It's like opening and closing a door. Right? It's just meant to be that way. That's not molid. That's not creating something new. Yes, 100%. That's one of the responses to him. But before we even get to the problem with that, I want to point out on a purely... Even before you start thinking too hard about his svara, right, there's a major problem here, which is, which of the four molid sugyas does he invoke to make his point? Yeah, the one that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin like. Right, meaning, can you imagine? Right, if you told people, I don't know if they would believe you, that one of the earliest positions, and probably the one that is the most widely quoted... As even if not how we paskin, but how we act as if we paskin, right? Meaning, maybe like Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't think Beis Yitzchak is right, but he does have this language of kvar hore zaken, that he will accept the authority of the Beis Yitzchak, even if he's not convinced of the argument. So this is a very, very influential tshuva, but not only is the definition of molid really, really tenuous in this case, the case of molid that he invokes would actually lead you to believe that according to Sfardim, electricity would be mussar on Shabbos, and according to Ashkenazim, again, assuming this Sfardi, right, this Ramah Mechaber break, that only Ashkenazim would not be allowed, right? Electricity on Shabbos would be an Ashkenazi Chumrah, right? Right, essentially. Right, that's essentially what should emerge if you actually take the basis to forget his word. So it's an extremely problematic position, besides for the Rav Shlomo Zalman's points, right, that is this really creating something new? Even if he's right, it's not clear we paskin that molid is a real category, especially not the one he invokes, which is the case of molid reach. And therefore, this really, really is extremely, extremely problematic. But it's important to understand this, right? Meaning it's important to understand that if this is correct, so then we have a language to prohibit electricity on Shabbat and Yom Tov. But if you actually take the Beit Yitzchak seriously, it would only be according to Ashkenazim, right? Which would mean not only is his Svara weak, but even if he's right, it's only true for Rashi, right? And the Ramah, but not true for the Mechaber, which that's going to weaken any attempt to prohibit electricity on Shabbos and definitely on Yom Tov, right? If you're invoking categories that are vague and not agreed to, right? And he picks the of the four, the one of the weakest categories of Molid to make his point. So, if you look at 27, I gave you a summary of some of the many questions that have been raised against the Beis Yitzchak over the years. And this is from an article. This is an article by Rav Oad Fixler. Rav Rabinovich, we talked about a bit last year, has many very important students, including Rav Yoni, who teaches you, you know. But he has two students who obsessively write about electricity on Shabbat. At least one of them is like an electrical engineer or something. I think it might be him. Oad Fixler and drawer something. Blanking on it. Something. So they write a lot about electricity. And here he summarizes many of the questions that have been raised against the Beis Yitzchak. And he writes, Biram, nitan lakshot mispar she'elot al dimyon zeh. There are many reasons to question this comparison. One, kasher nolad reyach beveged arayon nishar tavua bo v'hu kola chadasha. First of all, the case that he invokes, which according to Rashi is infusing a smell into the clothing. One, it lasts. That's the whole point. Is that even once you take away the scent, now your jacket smells like lavender and vanilla, or whatever we said last week. I think that's what we said. Yes. I see from your... What? I was right. Okay, lavender and vanilla. Great. Kedei lahotzir arech me'abeg yitzhon ma'amat bu'lak tivit. To take it out now would take a lot of work, right? You'd have to give it a good wash to get out that smell. Skirat magal chashmali yishoneh. But closing an electric circuit is very different. Amnami mishaneh tchunata machshir. As Ruthie said, sure, it now acts differently, right? First of all, it has no lasting power. When it's on, it works. When it's off, it isn't. It's not like you've now created something that has lasting power. So that sense, it's very strange to compare it to Molid, which, at least according to Rashi, unlike the Meiri, remember we saw this machloket, that Rashi thinks Molid Reach is infusing equality into clothing. The Meiri thinks it's creating something new. So maybe according to Meiri, it's creating something new. But according to Rashi, it's very weird, because it's not infusing a quality that's going to last. It's just doing something. Second problem. Skirat magal chashmali in ena yotzer energia chadasha. It doesn't create new energy at all. Nireshe karov l'damot is skirat magal zrimat mayim batzineret. It's like redirecting water. Ma'afsharim et hazrimat shalachom l'got shonim v'chosmim ota, right? It's like opening or closing an irrigation duct. It just redirects water. Lo medubar l'yitzirat davar chadash, ela hasarat moneh shel hitpashtuto. You're not creating something new, you're preventing it, you're taking away that which was preventing it from flowing. Three, dinei molid shene esru em garim shadam sugal lachush otam. Normally, the things in molid are something that are tangible to the human being. Zerem chashmeli mechutz lachushi adam lo barshin den lovli davar shalim dam lachush. You don't actually perceive an electric current; you perceive its results. But maybe that's not molid. And then the fourth point, and this is why it was so important to do what we did until now, right? Where I said we were transitioning towards electricity, is point four. Din molid mafil misparsu yod b'gmarach, lor barushin itan l'archim otam l'mikriv shachamim lo skiru otam. It appears in different places in Shas, but it's hard to expand it, meaning no one really knows what it means, right? It comes in four places. All of them are subject to machloket. So trying to now expand it, in order to expand it, you'd have to be convinced that you understood it originally. But as we saw, it's very hard to understand it originally. What does it mean? When does it apply? No one knows. And therefore, it's a very, very hard shita. But he notes that Lamrora Kushal Shita Beit Yitzchak, despite this, Mikubal Bekerav Harbei Achronim Shidoit Kabla Kisnif Nasav La'alchal Seod Shimush Chashmal B'Shabbat. Most Achronim, many Achronim at least, accept the Beit Yitzchak, even if they don't accept him itself. They at least accept it as one of the reasons to assume that electricity must be asur on Shabbat and Yom Tov. Kayadua, yeshnat shidot shenot l'makor ha'isur. As we know, there are many different reasons to forbid electricity. Mukumaz v'zara sudra banan, Most people think it's Dirabbanan, and if it's Dirabbanan, it might be because of Molid. But there are consequences to this. As I said, if with all the problems, we still accept the Beit Yitzchak, that electricity is Molid, so with that comes many Chumrot and many Kulot. So he writes, Yesh Letzayin, Shechidusho Shal Beit Yitzchak Mashpia Gam Al Gidreya Yisur L'Kulot L'Chumra. If we accept the Beit Yitzchak, this will affect the exact parameters of when electricity is usur. So number one is, right? I won't read them all inside, but number one is, what's his first nafka mina? Is, as we said, if it's molid, then molid is only what? Creating a new quality. What is it very much not? What?
Creating anything new.
Well, no, meaning it might be that. Right, it's creating a new quality. It's not increasing in quantity. Which means that if the Beit Yitzchak is right, it is 100% permitted to turn up the volume on your phone, on your television, on your whatever. Right? If you have a dimmer on a light, right, you could make the light brighter. Right? You couldn't turn it on, but you might be able to make it brighter. So you might be able to leave it on very, very, very dim, and then when you want it to be lighter, turn it up. The second point, he says, is l'chumra. That if it's about creating, so then it shouldn't really matter whether you're closing a circuit or not. The point is that you're creating the electricity. So if you had certain types of magnetic fields, right? There are different ways of creating electricity, and some of these, like touch screens, right? Things like that, they don't really open and close circuits in the same way. You could argue that in that case, anytime you create something new, you create it, doesn't matter whether it involves the closing of a circuit or not, or any other way, it would be forbidden. Now, one of the sort of most pressed shilas in recent years is LED. Right? LED, right, originally Poskim assumed, most Poskim, though we'll get to it, assumed that at least a incandescent light bulb was forbidden on Shabbat because of the metal filament, which is either a problem of Havara, fire, or Bishul, of cooking. But LED doesn't have that. What? No, so on a... incandescent light bulb, Poskim assumed, was usur.
To use it all.
Because they assumed it was definitely to turn on. Okay, let's for the moment turn on. What about LED? Right? Because LED, there is no filament. So, would LEDs, which are definitely not fire, would it be usur under the paradigm of the Beit Yitzchak of Molid? So here it's unclear. So he notes that Professor Lev, right, like the person who Machon Lev is named for, right, Professor Lev, he said, well, let's go through all the cases of Molid and let's see if it works. So let's go through the snow case. Okay, let's assume that the reason you can't take snow and crush it is because of Molid. So he said there, it doesn't sound like a good model because there, Molid requires specifically a new substance. When you're turning on it, an LED light bulb, it's not making a new substance. It may be a new quality in the world, but it's not a new substance. So the model of Molid, if you took it from the case of snow, right, the crushing of snow, doesn't seem to work. Now, what about Molid Eish, the sugya of creating fire, which we saw even the Rambam accepts Molid there. So he says it doesn't seem to be the case because again, you're not really creating something new in the same way. And it's definitely not fire, that's the whole point. You're creating a phenomenon, but you're not really creating a thing. So maybe yes, maybe not, because it does seem to be that you're just, right, redirecting electrons, Molid Reach, he says, well, Rashi said that that's only when I create a quality in a cloth, in something tangible. Turning on an LED light bulb is not really tangible. So he says, it's weird to invoke the Beit Yitzchak, because besides the fact that it's a machloket, it doesn't seem to be a good fit to any of the classic cases of Molid. And then he says, well, what about the case of Molid Eish? Right, so look towards the end of the page. Right, Afika Kifan Shnitan Lavi L'Tanah She'ain Isser Molid, or by like an LED, because we go Isser Molid Eish. He said maybe the proof that this isn't forbidden because of Molid is actually from the sugya of Molid Eish, of creating a fire. Why? He says Al Divrei Mishnah Oseret Hadlakat Eish Biyom Dov Masbir Rambam. In terms of the prohibition of creating fire, the Rambam in the Perush Mishnah had said, "Ein motzin in eish, ok kli zach kashel zchuchut melei amayim shemechin ato keneged ein hashemesh, ad shichzur neagal lepishtan chedz bevidalek." You can't, right? Use a magnifying glass to create fire by directing the sun. Harambam oser adlakat eish al yidei adasha, right? Zchuchit migadel. The Rambam forbids using a magnifying glass to make a fire. Amnam bekrin hashemesh yish gam or vegam chom, but he said, in that case, even if you hold that creating a fire is molid, it's molid of what? The fire. Except when you take a magnifying glass, what else are you creating? Right? When you direct the sun, you're also increasing light. And yet no one looks at that case and says it's molid or. Right? They say it's fire. So he says even the one case that you might look at, you see that it seems to be something about fire that creates the quality, but increase of light, it's not clear. Now, you could just say, that's just because it's an increase of light, and this would be creating light. So maybe you could say it's different, but many people were really not convinced. Yeah? Right. Correct, and that's why you could have said, well, no, that's different. That's not creating something new. Maybe this is creating something new. But again, the response would be, so if you think it's molid, you'd say, yeah, you're creating something new. You're creating light. And if you say it's permitted, you're saying, no, you're creating... you're just directing electrons. That's not creating something new. And at the end of the day, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said that, and we'll look at it inside in coming weeks, that fundamentally is not really convinced. Because as I said, molid is such an amorphous category, which I hope I convince you of over a week and a half of this. It's so hard to pin down that it's very hard to really say, oh, this is obviously, obviously, obviously molid. And if it's molid, so then it's us or on Yom Tov. It's just hard to pin it on this... category. Now, Rav Asher Weiss does think that this point of Professor Lev is wrong. That, at least according to the Beit Yitzchak, he thinks, as Ruthie points out, that no, the Beit Yitzchak probably would believe that this is molid. Because he doesn't care about creating something. The light is new. The electrons may have existed. But the Beit Yitzchak seems to think that creating the effect of it is molid. So therefore, he takes as a given that Beit Yitzchak really would think that it's molid. But again, it's unclear. Right? Now, there are many other things that come up. There are machlokot in the poskim about seltzer. There were poskim who felt that creating seltzer was molid because you're giving it a new life and quality. And other people who said you're crazy. You don't create molid in foods. And seltzer is not qualitatively different than water in that way. But this... Yeah, right. So a lot of people said it's just mixing. And other people said it's molid. As I mentioned, chemical reactions on Shabbat, there were those who forbade it, right, like the heating things and the glow sticks and things like that. But there were others, and I, you know, Yisrael Rosen in his article, in his book, Bechatzotzer Beit Hashem, from one of his articles in Plumen, argues that it's permitted. Okay, so very briefly, I just want to show you. And again, because I said this week I'm really starting to transition, is that why this matters to understand molid really in depth is because this is one of those cases where it's really going to, the question of not just electricity on Shabbat, but whether Yom Tov is different, comes down to this sugya in many ways. So if you look, for example, in number 28, in Rav Uziel, the first Sephardi chief rabbi of Israel, he writes, "Val kol panim nireh vaday she'en lasar adlagat chashmal mitam zeh."
He said,
I don't buy that it's molid, because it's hard to say you create something new. The electrons are there. Maybe it's usher on Shabbat because you're increasing the fire. And on Shabbat, increasing a fire is a problem because of mavir. But on Yom Tov, mavir is permitted. Right? Creating a bigger fire is permitted. The only thing that's prohibited is creating something new. But he says, Lo mishum molad, lo mishum nolad. Umutar l'zaveh mavtech l'tchok l'kavdor l'bideach zerb chashmal l'dor l'doch akudim shavashit l'vateir otam. And therefore it should be permitted, at least on Yom Tov. Right? So like I said, once you say this, Yom Tov becomes much harder to forbid, right? Electricity, because right? Now, you could say, no, it really is creating something new, and it's molid, but if you don't buy molid, then it's, right? Then it, and you think, right? And here, the irony is that if you think that it's more machmir, like it's fire, so then it dafka would be mutter on Yom Tov. If you actually buy that it's molid, so it's only derabanan, but it'll be asur on Yom Tov also, maybe. Right? So you get this weird situation where if you're saying it's derabanan, so it's always only derabanan, but maybe then on Yom Tov it's mutter. But if you think, no, molid's weird, but maybe it really is fire, so then when you violate it, it's biblical. But on Yom Tov, it would be permitted entirely. Right? Because on Yom Tov, you can't create a new fire because it's derabanan, but you can increase one. So the Mishmei Uziel didn't buy molid. He thought it might be Aish, and therefore on Yom Tov, he thought it was permitted. But the Tzitz Eliezer was willing to buy that it was molid, meaning that it was only Derabanan. But once he said it was only Derabanan, because molid, whatever it is, does apply in Yom Tov as well, so he forbade it on Yom Tov. And he writes in 29, if you press a button on Yom Tov, ain't etzem lechitzed o molid adavar. Yeah. Pressing the button doesn't create something new. But it does lead to the creation of something new. It creates the fire to come. And the light didn't exist in any way in the wires. And I think this is, just this one line of the Tzitz Eliezer is very important. Because one of the major machlokot within the Beit Yitzchak seems to be this. What are you creating? The electrons? Right? What is he worried about with molid? That you're creating the electrons, right, the electric current, or that you're creating the result? The Mishmei de Uziel thinks that if you talk about it, it must be that you're creating the electric flow. And therefore, if in any way, shape, or form there was electricity, you just hadn't yet directed it to your house, it's not molid. The Tzitz Eliezer thinks, no, it's not are the electrons there, but is the result there. That's what bothers the Beit Yitzchak, and that's what he thinks it means when you call it molid. Not that you create the electric current, but you create the result that comes from the electric current. And that's what he thinks molid is. And he says, if the angel don't make klal, klal moser mechsah chalona monea or a chamami lekadosh b'bayit. And that's why it's not like taking down the tree sim and letting light come into the house. Right, because before you actually close the circuit, nothing really exists. It's just sort of theoretical. There's no electrons running through yet because there's no circuit. And then Rav Fixler in number 30 here summarizes what comes out from this machloket. L'sikum, in summary, Ra'inu shtei svarot shonot be'eter chashmal b'yom tov. There are two reasons to believe that you're allowed to use electricity on Yom Tov. One is ein kan molid, hol v'koach ha'ish karaya tamun b'chutim l'fiskerat ma'agal chashmali. One is to say it's not molid, because you didn't create something new. The potential already existed. And two, which we didn't get into at length, but I'm just giving you a summary, is maybe, even if it is molid, it's only indirect. Ein molid bigrama el rak basiyah b'dayim mamash. You're not actually creating it, you're closing the circuit, which is, at some level, indirectly creating the result. So he says, kayadu l'alacha lo yikabel kishitot elu. It's well known, obviously, that most people don't accept these kulot. V'asur l'adli chashmal gam b'yom tov. And most people rule that you can't light electricity on Yom Tov. V'aposkin chilku ben himatsud elektronim v'kebol ha'chashmali. V'inzat energia da'esh al-yidei v'agal shem tzashol d'var chadash. But then he knows there, Ravadia, right? No less about Ravadia says yes. Meikara, then he thinks it's asur. But he thinks it's plausible enough that it's mutter, that if someone does it, you don't have to protest and stop them. Right? So, you know, I just don't think people know this, right? That even if the majority position that is asur, there is this recognition about in Poskim that at least in the case of Yom Tov, the argument that electricity is usher is much weaker, because you need to really be convinced of the Beit Yitzchak. Because even if it's Eish, it would be mutter on Yom Tov. Right? And therefore, even Rav Avadya will say, yeah, maybe I think it's usher, but it's not obviously usher. So if someone says it's mutter, don't worry about it. But you don't have to stop them. Right? Which already shows you that, you know, this is what I said this already 2 months ago, is that that which is a given to most people, that Yom Tov Shabbat is basically the same, it's not just that theoretically that's not necessarily the case. Like major poskim lehalacha think that, and even like the poskim who are machmir are aware that it might just be a chumrah, and it's not as clear cut as many other things, and therefore it really deserves re-examining, because you know it really is amorphous. It really is a gray area. So this should at least open us up, and I think next week we'll really start looking back at the shita of electricity more in depth. But then, you know, I wanted this as a model just to see that what matters here is that whatever conclusion you come to on electricity, Yom Tov is not necessarily the same as Shabbat, as you see very, very clearly in this very brief summary of the issues. Okay, so that finishes the topic for now.